I'm a little emotional today. This song, I Am the Lord's, I Know, and then this one, Lord, Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary. And thank you, young people. We have so many dedicated young people. And it is true, they have to make the most important decision or decisions in their lives at a young age when they're most inexperienced. But it's how it is that young people make the decision to get married and to have children, because if God would have us old people do that, we would never do it. We wouldn't have the energy to have a family. That's for the young people. And I appreciate all the young families. Brother Volker mentioned this pastor from Africa that pastored a Chinese church, and I thought, well, maybe a pastor from Africa will one day pastor this church. Who knows? Because I can guarantee you I will not be here forever. That's just not going to happen. But anyway, just a thought that one day we all grow older, and 1 year has gone by, and we have celebrated Christmas. The holidays have come, are not quite over yet. We still have to celebrate the new year. But really, what is there to celebrate, even if we go into the new year? I hope that we can close this year without any regrets. And if you have regrets, bring them to the Lord. Maybe we say, well, I should have been a better father, a better husband. Every year I say that. I should have been a better husband. Every year I say that. I wish I would have been a better father. And sometimes you get tired of it. You wish. But the Lord knows that we need Him in all things. So another year of planning and preparing, and another year of being anxious and excited and nervous, and all of that has gone. And here we are. And we have these different cares now. Some people have gotten Christmas gifts that they don't like, and they have to stand in line and bring it back, hopefully get a refund. Or some toys don't work and it's a disappointment, and some people didn't get what they liked and they wish they had gotten this and this and this. My Christmas wish list has actually gone down to zero. I don't want to go into all the details, but the gifts come and go. The gifts are new and they become old. You know, and I read that these old, in the 80s, they had these old toys, these simple toys, and we had one of those. One of them was this battleship. It was on the battery, and later we threw it in the garbage. And now it's worth a lot of money, and we should have kept it. So that's one regret I have for this year. So. Presents get old. And in quiet moments, our hearts are already thinking about the next year. And whether we want it or not, we look forward to next year. We may dread the next year. Or you may be so discouraged and say, I don't think anything good or exciting is going to happen next year. It all depends on what our Christmas or our attitudes is, and how long the Christmas cheer is staying with us. But how can we bring the message to the world, the message that God became man, that Christ was born a king or the king? I read this sentence. There have been many babies in the history of I'm not supposed to say mankind, I'm supposed to say humankind. But man is inhuman too, so that's a problem too. So, but in the human race, many babies have been born who later became kings. But let me say this, only one king was born a baby, and that is Jesus Christ. That's all the difference. The Word of God, the Word itself, through whom everything was created, the visible and invisible world, that Word became flesh. And when the wise men came and the shepherds came to worship, they worshiped the baby, because the baby was and is the king forever and ever. They knew it. They got it. The religious leaders didn't get it. They knew the scriptures, but they didn't get it. Which shows us today, too, we can be students of the Word. We can be so involved in the correctness of understanding words of the scriptures and even memorize scripture, but we can still miss it if we're not careful. So the holidays have come and gone, but this Christmas joy, peace, and love should go on. So God invites us, according to Matthew chapter 22, to become part of his invitation to the human race. His invitation to come to his wedding feast. This story is fascinating in Matthew chapter 22. It fascinates me every time I read it, because something positive, something great is happening. A wedding feast is being prepared. And a wedding feast is usually looked at as something very positive. A party is prepared. And this is a king that makes this invitation, gives this invitation. A king invites his subjects to come to the party, to the wedding feast, which is all wonderful and positive. But the ones who are invited seem to have a negative attitude. Number one, they don't like the king. And because of their dislike of the king, they miss out on great blessings. That's the story. So now he invites. He says, I have slaughtered my cattle, and everything is ready. I mean, you get the best steaks possible. You know, like when you go to Costco and you look at the best steaks they have there. I sometimes go and look at them. But then I look at the price and say, oh, I'm not hungry anymore. Sirloin tip, T-bone steaks. That's what the king had ready. A free steak dinner and a party with it. A wedding feast. Come, this is positive. This is great. Rejoice in the presence of the king. And they said, nope, we're not coming. And then it goes on. The story changes from this beautiful picture of a wedding feast to a gloom and doom type of attitude and ending. What is happening? And you wonder as you read on, you wonder, you say, wait a minute, wait a minute. Because they murdered his messengers that invited them to. I mean, come on now. The ones that were invited, they murder the ones that invite them. Says, stop saying that. We hate the king. We don't want anything to do with him. And then here, come, and they kill them. So now murder happened. So the king is mad and angry, and he sends his soldiers, and there's war because of this wedding feast where everybody was to come and rejoice and be happy. That is human nature. When we don't like God, when we don't accept Jesus as our king, we start working against him. We don't like his invitation. We don't like his convictions. We don't like others to tell us about him and about the wedding feast that he is preparing for us. Because this is all about the kingdom of God. That's why this story is given here by Jesus. So murder happens. War breaks out. God seems to be mad in this story. And then we get mad. Why did these people do that? And the whole story is ruined because of the hardness of hearts. The whole story of joy and bliss is spoiled because of the guests' unwillingness to accept the invitation of the king. This invitation is not exclusive or limited. We now see the story changing because the king doesn't give up. He simply says to his servants, those that were invited, they were not worth it. Let's invite others who will never repay us. Others who are poor, those that we find on the streets, the homeless. Let's invite them. Let's invite those that are very unfortunate in this life. And so they come. Anyone and everyone is invited. But then there's one other hiccup that comes at the end of this story here too. The king goes and he examines the guests. And he's so happy to see everyone. All of a sudden, one man stands out. One person. There was one person that didn't really belong there. And the king asked him this very profound and piercing question. Man, how did you get in here? Because he's wearing the wrong clothes. And this can be compared with our own clothes of self-righteousness. And we come into the kingdom of God. We sit in the church. We count ourselves as being part of the church, but we wear our self-righteous robes. And the king wonders, how do you think that you belong here in my presence at my feast? Nevertheless, let's put ourselves into the place of the servants of the king. We are called to invite others to the wedding feast. When we invite others to join us in the family of God, we must be clear that they're invited to a wedding feast, that they're invited to come in and put down their clothes and put on a new robe, a wedding garment. that is suitable for the highest wedding, royal wedding feast, worthy of a king. When we invite others to come to the feast that Jesus has already prepared. When he said it is finished, it was already, come and receive that forgiveness, that peace that the world can't give you, that love that only God can pour into your heart through the Holy Spirit. We can learn from the shepherds when they came after they heard the angel announcing that the Savior was born in Bethlehem. They rushed to this place. They were in a hurry. They didn't want to miss one moment, if they didn't have to, of being in the presence of the newborn king. And they came to worship. They were so excited. These were not the religious leaders of the society that time. These were not the high priests, the scribes. These were not people that had high ranks in society. These are people that were actually forgotten, that people didn't even think much of and about. And they came and they worshiped Jesus, the King. And the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2 that the shepherds now responded and they rejoiced and glorified God. And then they went and told everyone who they could find, listen to us, listen to what we have seen, listen to what we have heard, listen to the glory of God. The feast is ready. The King has arrived, the King of kings and Lord of lords. To God be the glory. That was their message. That was their invitation. You and I are called to be part of God's invitation. God's invitation to the world. Come, experience the light. Come, experience the joy. Come, experience Jesus. Now, we can't repent for others. I would have done it thousands of times if I could. If I could repent for others, I would do it day and night. We can't bring others to this conviction. Only God can do that, but we can invite. There are several aspects of our invitation that we give. First of all, our lives need to say what we say in words. In other words, we need to walk the talk. We confess to be believers. Let's be believers. If we confess to be prayer people, people of grace, let's be people of grace and be people of prayer. And then we need to invite others through the light that we shine, through our testimony. And they see we are excited about serving God. That our enthusiasm about God and about the Bible is in such a way that they see, oh yes, I could see myself getting to that point. Some may say, well, I could never be as happy as you are. You're just an eternal optimist and that's why you're happy. No. I'll tell you today, I'm actually a born pessimist. That's me. But when it comes to talking about the love of God, as I had the privilege of doing this year in the Bible course, I get so caught up and so excited about it. And I would love to see more of God's presence and glory. And as we pray for this glory to come upon us, to come into our lives, let's be aware of two things. First of all, We should never seek glory for ourselves when we invite others. We should never seek glory or do anything to our own personal selfish advantage. Never because, oh, I did this and now this. No, it's all about God, about Jesus Christ. Secondly, we need to be aware that when we invite others, when we are the invitation itself to the world. Let's think of that. We are the invitation of God to the world. That we need to realize we are vessels of clay. And Paul was very much aware of this. He says we are treasures in jars of clay. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7. We have this treasure. The wedding feast in our hearts. This joy of a wedding feast in our hearts. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. That others see we are 100% dependent on God. We lean on Him every day for everything. 2 Timothy 2, verse 20 and 21 says, but in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. That is what God desires in us, to become the invitation of God to the world by being vessels that are cleansed and sanctified that the master can use. And that's my primary prayer for the new year. I don't have a bigger prayer than that. To be a vessel of honor. To carry His glory into the world. To encourage someone. To light and shine God's light into someone's darkness. And to help them get right with God. That is my desire. Inviting others after experiencing Jesus is of extreme importance, and we should strive to have constantly one encounter with Jesus after another. Because those who encounter Jesus, they cannot remain silent. But someone said this, witness to others as often as you can, and if needed, use words. Okay, you get it? If needed, use words. But witness to others. We are, as God's people, we are the invitation of God to the world. Come to the wedding feast. Come to eternal life. It is worth it all. God bless us. Amen.